Well, please take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17 tonight. Luke chapter 17.
Luke chapter 17, regarding the subject of praise and thanksgiving, the entire Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, has much to teach us regarding this subject. In the Scriptures, we have exhortations to be thankful. We have warnings of thanklessness. We have songs of thanksgiving and accounts that cause us to reflect on the subject of thankfulness or praise. And tonight I want to reflect on one of those accounts in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the desire that we would evaluate our current state, the current condition of our hearts, and that we would see our constant need to grow, not only in Christ's likeness, but specifically in the area of thankfulness. Now, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, we have a very familiar passage. We have Jesus healing the 10 lepers. Now, let's read this together. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Most, if not all of us, are familiar with this passage. At some point or another in our Christian life, we have read of this account personally in our reading of the Scriptures. We, perhaps growing up in church, have heard this account taught by a Sunday school teacher or a junior church worker. Or perhaps in a sermon as an adult, you have heard this portion of Scripture exposited. And so knowing this, I want to save time by refraining from retelling all the details that one could tell with this account. And I want to focus rather on one question, one reality, and then finally be stimulated to implement several truths that will help us grow to be more Christ-like in this area of gratitude. In considering the account before us, I want you to consider this one penetrating question. Why did the one leper come back and thank the Lord? What was it that convinced this one leper, this Samaritan, to respond in such a way? He is the one that stands out. Here are 9 who go their way. They are also cleansed. They are also healed. They also witness the power of Christ. And yet they do not respond like this one. What was the difference? Well, I believe there are 3 things that spell out the difference. There are 3 suggestions that I want to give you why this one acted the way that he did. Why did the one come back to thank the Lord? First, I believe he thanked the Lord because he remembered his former condition. In other words, this one did not forget the miserable condition he lived with previously to being healed. This one remembered the daily pain that would come with leprosy. He would remember the great loneliness that he experienced as a leper. Recall in the law and the instructions and guidelines given for lepers, they were outcasts of the society. And that's why they stood afar off, crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, have mercy on us." No family members, friends, community members were to come too close. This one thanked the Lord because he remembered who he was, what that leprosy was like. The second reason, I believe, he came back to thank the Lord because he knew that he was a recipient of God's grace and mercy. He knew that he did not deserve to be healed. And there was nothing in and of himself that influenced Christ to have mercy on him. He knew that Christ had no obligation to heal. And Christ would have still been a good and just Savior if he had not healed. And so he does not take the gift of God for granted. He turns back and with a loud voice and a thankful heart praises the Lord. He was also, notice the scripture says, a Samaritan. And we take from this that he did not partake of the graces that the Jewish people did. The Jews enjoyed mercy after mercy, being God's chosen people. But this Samaritan did not grow up in a church home, we could say. He did not have the privileges the Jewish people did, and thus he did not take it for granted. He knew that he was healed because simply it was God's grace and God's mercy. And then third, I think he turned back to thank the Lord because he wanted to. He purposely chose to turn back and express his thanksgiving because that was his desire. He could have followed the crowd. He could have succumbed to the peer pressure, but he did not. He exercised his will and he did what he thought was right. He wanted to thank the Lord and thus he did. You've heard the saying from this pulpit before. You do what you want to do, and you do what's important to you. This man wanted to praise the Lord because he saw that it was important to him. That's the question. Those are the answers to the one question of why this one turned to the Lord. But let me give you a sad reality. There's, in this account, a sad reality that we need to humbly consider. This passage teaches us of a spirit that sometimes creeps into our own lives. It's not uncommon for us to read this and immediately think that we're the one and everybody else belongs in the group of the nine, right? We like to make ourselves the hero. But if we're honest before the Lord, most, if not all of us, have to humbly confess that frequently we're like the nine. And we're daily showered with the mercies of God. We daily taste of the goodness of the Lord, and yet we go throughout our days and we go throughout our years not really giving much thought about those mercies that we have received. Example, case in point. Today, when you woke up, got out of bed, did you praise God that He gave you the strength? Get out of bed. When you went to work this past week, did you thank God for providing you a job and a means to get money so that you can live? When you grabbed your Bible before coming to church, did your heart become overwhelmed with the reality that God has shown mercy to you and has allowed you to be in a country where you can freely own a copy of God's Word when there are still yet millions who have never seen a Bible or heard the word Bible in their life? When you look at your spouse, when you look at your children, you thank God for giving them to you, family to love, and family then to love you. How about when you walk through the doors of this church? Not that we're a perfect church, but did you honor God for how He has provided and how He is providing so that we can have a place to worship the Lord? And we could go through question after question after question, but my point is often we're like the 9 lepers. We often go through life being undeserving recipients of God's wonderful grace, and many times we don't even give thought of it until we are confronted face to face with His mercies like we are now. It's easy to take things for granted. It's easy for Satan to throw his fiery darts at us, his wiles, and it's in our pride easy to think, well, somehow we are deserving of God's mercies, but we are not. So let me give you the application. It should be the desire of all believers not to have the spirit of the 9, but to have the spirit of the 1, right? So we acknowledge that often we are like the 9. We take God's mercies for granted, and we don't turn back to praise God for all things that He provides, and we don't want to be like that. We want to be like the 1. So how can we ensure that we're not like the 9 and that we can be like the 1? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me give you 2 main points. This is how we can cultivate such a spirit. Number 1, very simple. Pray for such a spirit. Pray for a thankful spirit. So the temptation is to be ungrateful. The temptation is to forget God's mercies and to take them for granted. How do we counteract? How do we stand victoriously in a spirit of thanksgiving? Pray for it. Remember James. James says, ye have not because ye ask not. Ask God to take away any unthankful thoughts, any unthankful spirit that may come to us, and ask God to give you a continual spirit of thanksgiving. And we have the promise of God, we have the Word of God to assure us if we ask, He will give it to us. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of thy heart. If your heart's desire is a pure, God-glorifying desire, as such, to have a grateful spirit, don't you think our Father, who is a good, gracious, loving, heavenly Father, will give good gifts to you? And the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. How can we cultivate such a spirit? We need to pray for it. Lord, help me to be thankful for all things. Help me to be thankful always. Help me to not take Your blessings for granted. Forgive me of those times that I have. And the second main point, we need to strive to be thankful always. And here again is that mysterious doctrine. Here again is that mysterious truth that we find in Scripture, the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. We pray for it because only God can change our hearts. Only God can work with such a spirit. But we respond to God's Word and then we work it out. We rely on God's grace and God's power, but that doesn't mean we're passive. We fight for the spirit of thanksgiving. We strive to be thankful always. Well, how do we do that? Well, first, we need to go back to the first 3 points. Now, we want to be thankful people. How can we be thankful people? Well, we need to remember our former condition. We must never forget what God saved us from. Sometimes it's good to pull out those old pictures of our lost state and then to laugh and then to Praise the Lord. Sometimes I'll go into a restaurant or a grocery store and I'll hear music that I was addicted to, ungodly music. Or I'm at a stoplight listening and I think two things. I think, how could anybody listen to that? Then I think, I used to listen to that. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from that junk. But by the grace of God, there go I. By the grace of God, I am what I am. We need to remember our former condition. We need to remember that we were blind, that we were spiritually deaf, that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and God came to our rescue. God had mercy on us. We want to be thankful. So, yes, give thanks to the Lord for His salvation. And then we recall the mind that we are constant receivers of God's grace and mercy. We must not take it for granted. We must realize there's nothing in us that worked God to look at us. Nothing that moved God to love us. We were never lovable. We were never deserving. But we need to remember all that we have, God's grace, God's mercies. And we need then to choose to be thankful. Thanksgiving is a choice. And though it may be a dark storm you're going through, we find in Scripture those who went through dark storms and yet were thankful. Paul praising at midnight in a jail cell. Paul giving thanks, writing to the Corinthian believers, I've been in shipwrecks and I've been beaten, I've gone through all these things, yet God is good. And we need to choose to be thankful, though others may choose not to, like the one in the 9 year. Others may go on in their grumpy ways. Others may choose to be bitter about certain activities, but we must never succumb to their spirit. We must stand out like this one and choose to be thankful. So we strive to be thankful. How do we do that? We go back to the first three points, and then we meditate on those truths that speak of our responsibility to be thankful. Hebrews 13:15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise of God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We want to be thankful. How can we be thankful? We read the Word, we meditate on the Word, and filling our hearts and mind with the Word will then lead our life to be thankful. Renew the spirit of your mind so that we can be thankful. It's like a sponge, right? Put water in a sponge, squeeze the sponge, what comes out? Water. Fill your heart and mind with the Word of God and those exhortations of thanksgiving. You're pressed in a situation. What comes out? Hopefully, thanksgiving. And then we mortify. So we revive, we vivify a spirit of thanksgiving. And as we vivify, we then mortify, we put to death the spirit of unthankfulness when it rears its ugly head. We must put it to death immediately. The Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. What does everything mean? Well, it means everything. Good times, bad times. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we sense that we are going to respond in an unthankful way, we must, Lord, help me. Or like Peter, save me, Lord, or I'm going to perish. I'm going to fall into a bitter spirit. I'm going to fall, and this is going to lead from one sin to another sin. And then the most important, I believe, and then what all this leads to is our last point. Live out your thankfulness. So we pray for thankfulness. We strive to be thankful. And then we live it out. Remember Matthew Henry's words. Matthew Henry said, "Thanksgiving is good, but thanksliving is better." And we say that we are thankful with our lips. We need to demonstrate that we're thankful with our life. Now let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Others may not read the Bible, but they're reading your life. And in reading your life, do they see a spirit of thanksgiving? Or do they see a spirit of unthankfulness, taking things for granted? If we respond in such a way, taking things for granted, we represent the Savior in a hurtful way. I'll give you two examples as we conclude. Remember Jonah, servant of the Lord, faithful preacher, God-anointed preacher, we could say. The Lord used him in a great way. Yet, where do we find Jonah in Jonah chapter 4? We find him at a party, his own pity party. Bitter. Angry. Wanting to die. Unthankful. Unthankful that the Lord chose to use him. Unthankful that God gave him a second chance. Unthankful that the Lord just miraculously saved hundreds of people. He should have been thankful, but his focus was where? On himself. And when our focus is on ourselves, we become unthankful. When our focus is on the Lord, there we become thankful. Okay, so we have Jonah, and then the other side of that illustration, think of Joseph. Joseph, young Joseph. Hated by his brothers. Sold. Abandoned. Falsely accused. Left in jail. Forgot about by the butler and the baker. And yet, what do we see in that passage? The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. We don't read of a spirit of Jonah. We read of a spirit of trust. We read of a spirit of thankfulness, even in the midst of many questions. Even in the midst of not understanding what God was doing. And then when the brothers are revealed to Joseph, then we see the true heart of thanksgiving. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive. And he welcomes his brothers. A wonderful reunion. Great spirit. And the brothers are alarmed. And we love that story, don't we? We love that account. Why? Because one was thankful. He chose to be thankful. He could have been bitter. He could have rejected his brothers. But where was his focus? Not on men, on the Lord. The Lord allowed this. And look what the Lord has done. And the Lord has grown me through this time. And the Lord will show mercy to you. And the Lord's provided for our family. So let's go on and let's focus on the Lord. Spirit of thanksgiving. His light shined. His testimony was faithful. And so must ours be. We need to live out our thankfulness. Let's pray together.